do need your prayers as I stand before you today. Appreciate that sweet prayer, Brother Bobby. I thank God for it. I know that's who you were looking to. Pray that he'll bless me to share with this congregation today the things that I have on my heart and that which he would have us to share. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I'd like to read to you this morning from the writings of the Apostle Paul. And what we'll read from is the book of 2 Corinthians. We'll begin right in the first chapter, right at the first verse of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, and so much that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many in our behalf. The Apostle Paul begins this letter to the Corinthian brethren by stating exactly his authority in which he wrote to them. And it's awesome that we can have before us a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian brethren and also to us, as it's not only been recorded but kept by Almighty God for us, that today we can open up our Bibles and read this passage of Scripture and recognize that the authority the Apostle Paul had to write to these brethren and tell them what they needed to know is that same authority by which we can take this message and apply it to ourselves. We have the Bible as our authority in this world for faith and practice and for what we believe is truth. We're not left in this world without direction and instruction and light. The Word of God, the book of Proverbs says, "Thy word is," or Psalmist wrote, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And we have all Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is complete, throughly furnished unto all good works." And when we're reading this passage written to the brethren at Corinth, and Paul says, "I write as an apostle." An apostle was one that was sent directly by the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't just take up on his own and say, "I think I ought to instruct somebody into the teachings of God." And the Apostle Paul certainly didn't choose himself to be an apostle. As a matter of fact, he hated what the apostle stood for, and he hated the things that Christ stood for until the Lord arrested him by his grace and turned a persecuting Saul, who did everything he could to destroy the very name of the Lord Jesus Christ, was struck down, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles, and called to be an apostle. And that's how he became an apostle. And Jesus spoke to him directly, and he sent him to Ananias, and Ananias preached, and the apostle Paul followed in the things that he was taught, as well as the Lord spoke to him and told him what he was to do and how great things he should suffer for the Lord's name. And then he came and taught as an apostle. And what's good about that is those words that were taught there were given to men, and men have taught others. And today, if I teach the truth, I'll be teaching the same message that was first taught by Jesus, that was given unto the apostles, that were given to others also, faithful men, and will be carried on until the Lord comes back. And the reason that happens is not because men are so much, but because God is everything. And He's the one who's given it to us, and He's the one who will keep it. Today it's beautiful to be able to go in the simplicity of the practice given in God's Word, to look in with His Word together and study from His Word, that we might learn and grow in grace in the same languages, the same things that were written long ago are just as meaningful and needed and necessary today. Paul wrote as an apostle, not just of anybody, but of Jesus Christ. Jesus, that very word means Savior. Jesus is our Savior. The reason they called Him Jesus is because He shall save His people from their sins. If you believe in Jesus, the real Jesus of the Bible, then you should believe in a Savior who can truly save. Not one who wants to save, not one who hopes to save, but one who was sent to save and came to save and came and did save, and He saved all His people from their sins. There's not one of their sins that He missed. There's not one of His people that He missed. He is not the Savior of those who will let Him be the Savior. He's the Savior of those the Father gave Him. And all that the Father gave Him are those that He loved. And all those that He loved will come to Him. And those who will come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. And they come in regeneration. They're born of the Spirit of God, born from above. And He'll have every one of them. And the Scripture says, and He'll raise them up again at the last day. And there won't be one of them missing. And it's an innumerable company out of every nation and out of every kindred and out of every tongue and out of every people. And His name is called Jesus because of that. So if we believe in Jesus today, we believe in the Savior. A lot of people preach a Jesus that does not have any power. They preach a Jesus who cannot do what the Father, or cannot complete what the Father gave Him to do. But we, and the Bible teaches, and we should believe, and all of God's children should believe in a Jesus who had the power to do what the Father gave Him to do, and is everything the Bible says that He is, and He is the eternal Son of God. He is the eternal King. He's the eternal prophet. He's the eternal priest. And what a Savior we have in the Lord. I hope you get real lifted up and happy when you think about Jesus, because He is your everything. He is my everything. That is, if you have anything. If you have anything, Jesus is the everything that you have. He's the supplier of every grace, every benefit, every blessing. It is only by and through Him we have salvation, and without Him there is none. And He is the one that we truly need in life. And if we look to Him, we will always find everything that we stand in need of. Maybe not everything that we want, almost certainly not everything that we want, because sometimes our wants, many times, most, almost all the time almost, our wants are off. Our needs, the Lord knows, and we usually want far more than we need. And so we ask sometimes and hear no. Well, that's His name, Jesus. And He's Christ. He's the anointed. He's the Christ of the Old Testament. He's the Christ that was promised. He's the one Moses talked about. There was a prophet going to come greater than me. And that's who Jesus was. He was the promised one, the one that David spoke about, and that Isaiah said in Isaiah 53 would come, and he would be accursed and despised, and yet the zeal of the Lord is going to perform this, that He would save His people, and it's by His stripes that we're healed. He was bruised for our iniquities. He paid a sin debt we could not pay. He did everything that was necessary that we would be able as His children to live with Him in glory. And also everything that's necessary that you and I can live in a way to honor and glorify Him here in this world. His name is Jesus Christ. And Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he was that by the will of God. He wasn't that by his own will. It wasn't his will who chose and saw fit to follow the Lord. It was the Lord who saw the apostle Paul, and he saw him as a persecuting Saul. And he said, that's enough. And he struck him down. And the Lord didn't have any trouble knocking that old Saul down. And when he got finished with Saul, listen, he turned into a praying, preaching Paul. And if you're here today to worship the Lord, I'm saying to you, somewhere in your life, the same God that struck him down has struck you down. Change that old hard and stony heart. The old oots in me had to be that old man. That old willful, lustful creature that I still contend with, because even though we have a new man in us, created in Christ Jesus, we have that old man we're still contending with, and it's going to be one day, a beautiful day, when we all can put off the old man, and don't get offended, the old woman, and we can put those things aside, and we can be walking the newness of life in the fullness of that in heaven. But that's not going to happen until we get home to glory. We have a warfare every day to live, and that is to put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man and walk in the Spirit of God. And when we walk in the Spirit of God and according to His leadership and His direction, we grow in grace and we find the peace and the rest that the Lord would have us to have in this world. And more importantly than that, our lives become that which honor and praise the Lord. And by the way, that's what life really is all about. That's why you're here. That's why there's an earth. That's why there's a sun. That's why the planets are in the sky. Many men think it's all about me, that all that's there for me. And sometimes we will like to hear that's there for us. No, we are here because of Him. He's not there because of us. We didn't make Him. Men say that man who believes in God has made himself a god. Well, they can make themselves a god, but not this God, not the God of the Bible. I'm telling you, the God of the Bible made all that therein is. All that's in the heavens and the earth was made by Him. And it was not only made by Him, it was made for Him. It was made by His hands and for His glory. And that's what the stars do every night. They glorify God. Do you hear them talking? Hope so. If you hear them, I'm not talking about an audible sound. I've never gone out and seen the stars or heard the stars. I've seen them, but I've never heard them talk to me. I've never had a star speak. I mean, I've never had that. But I'm telling you, they do speak to me. Every day, that voice is going forth in this world. And it's testifying that there's a powerful, awesome God who made all that you see, that when you look at it, you just stand in awe. And the closer you look at it, the better it looks. And you can look at it in the bigness of it, or you can look at it in the tiny part of it, and you can magnify it and look at it, or you can use a telescope or a microscope in whatever way you go looking at His creation. True science will always glorify the Creator. It will. Some men say, well, you know, we've learned so much. We've learned that all of this just happened. That's silliness, isn't it? Just to think all of this just happened. I'm telling you how it happened. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And any little child in this room, given the faith that comes from God, is able to embrace that and believe that. And then the testimony of the Lord speaks to that every day, doesn't it? I look at the beauty of this world. You know, we try to predict the weather. God is the one who sends the weather. We try to predict the temperature. And the Lord sure can make us look foolish, can't He? We say, oh, I know this is going to happen. I know that's going to happen. I'll tell you what we know. Nothing without the Lord. We're dependent upon Him. I'm glad I can't make it snow. I'm glad you're not in charge of that. I'm glad even the weatherman, sometimes they tell me people get mad at the weatherman because he misses his predictions and blame him for the weather. Have bad weather, blame the weatherman. Have bad weather, blame the guy that made the report. Listen, that's kind of like blaming the preacher when you get upset with him, but just telling you what God said. You don't blame the messenger. The messenger just giving you the message. I'll tell you, if you're complaining about the weather, I'll tell you who you're complaining about. That's a dangerous thing. Now, does Gary do that sometimes? Yes. Need to be mindful about it. Listen, the Lord's the one who sends it every day. He sends the weather. And He doesn't ever mess up. He never sends a snowflake too much or too little. We think He does. When I'm shoveling them, sometimes I get the idea that He has. But no, He doesn't. Now, what does this have to do with what's laid down? I want you to see that this is the God that we're serving. The God of the Apostle Paul was a God who created the heavens and the earth. He's the God of the Old Testament. He's the God of the New Testament. He's the God of today, and He's just as much God today as He's ever been. He's not any less God. He's not any less powerful. He's not any less wise. He's not any less loving. He is everything the Bible says that He is. He's God the Father, who is the everlasting, eternal Father, who sent, and He's God the Son, who He sent, the Father sent, and the Son came. He sent Himself. The Son came, the everlasting Son, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the eternal Spirit, which I believe is sitting right with us here today. Have you felt anything? I have. I have here, right here in this stand. I felt His presence. And it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I say it humbly. I say it but I'm telling you, when you feel the Lord's presence and you see and get excited about His Word and you get excited about His creation and you get excited about the Savior that we have. Listen, that means so very much. This world, this life is not just a few years that we're passing through, that if it was just that only, wouldn't it be an empty vapor? If this was it, if we were just creatures that were here because of biology and we just happened to pop up and be here for a while and be gone, and our lives would be no more meaningful than a rock or an ant or anything else in this world. I'm telling you, God's little children were made to create and created in the image of God, and they were made for a purpose. And that purpose was every day for us to get up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing me. Thank thee, Lord, for being with me. Thank you, Lord, for saving an old sinner like me. Thank you for changing me so that I wouldn't be and continue to be. As you know, even though I got a whole lot of hard-headedness to work on, I'd be a whole lot worse if it wasn't for the grace of God. And if you've been touched by His grace, that's true for you as well. And if you haven't been touched by His grace, probably none of this is, well, it wouldn't have meant anything to you anyway, because the truth of the gospel can only be heard by those whom He's awakened and given life to. But once He's awakened you and given you life, it finds a lodging place, doesn't it? And just to hear the name Jesus means something. Jesus, Savior. He's my Savior. Because of Him, when I die, I've got a heaven to go home to. And if I live, He'll be with me in the troubles of life. And if I didn't have Him, I'd just be walking through this old world blind. Wouldn't even see or know all the things that He's doing for me. And there are times I get in the old nature, in the old flesh, but I don't want to be there. Not today. I want to remember we have Jesus, and He's Christ, the anointed of the Father. And He's writing here in Timothy, our brother. Listen, the Apostle Paul had a brother. He had a brother. He called him a son in one place. He was also a brother. We got all kinds of relationships in the church. We got all kinds of relationships with God's people. If you belong to the Lord, you're a male, you're my brother. And if you're a female, you're my sister. You're my brother, you're my sister. And I've had some mothers and fathers in Israel. I've had some dear old saints that have, many of them, gone home to be with the Lord, that has meant meant so much to me. And my memory is filled with their fellowship and with their good words and their instruction that came from God's Word that has been a great blessing for me. But I'm thankful that the Lord, when he made us, it would be wonderful just to have us and the Lord, but I'm thankful we have brethren, don't you? I'm thankful for the fellowship that we have right here in this world. And listen, if you belong to the Lord, you're my brother. And if I belong to the Lord, I'm your brother. And you're obligated to love me, and I'm obligated to love you. And we're told to love one another. That is how we show that we're brethren. We have love one to another. We don't just say we do love you. We act like we love you. We behave like we love you. We We respond to you in love. Love suffers long and is kind and vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up and it does not behave itself unseemly. It's where our love is. And I thank God we have love one to another. And I'm telling you, without Jesus, you'd have no love because He's the source of your love. He teaches you how to love. He teaches you how to forgive. He teaches you how to have a closeness that you'll never have anywhere else in this world. He teaches you how to act and behave in a way that's so contrary to your nature, to where you do things like turn the other cheek and pray for them that despitefully use you and just be thankful for what He's done. He says, Timothy, our brother, and he's writing unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. There was an assembly of saints, of believers at Corinth. He says, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Now, if you read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. That passage tells us it's not just a local assembly there, but this message is to all of God's little children wherever they be. And then they are identified as those who call upon the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, and He's both their Lord and our Lord. We have a kinship in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, grace be unto you, or grace be to you. You'll find this salutation, I know I've mentioned this before, but it's good to point it out. You'll find this in every one of the writings of the Apostle Paul. You'll also find it, as Brother Jason told us the other night, you'll find it in the writings of the other authors of the Bible, those that were led of the Lord to pin it down. You find grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't want us just to look at that today and say, well, that's a nice salutation that's just given and just like, hello, how do you do? This is a message that comes each and every time. A message is important enough to be included in almost every letter that we read in the New Testament. The message is grace be to you. Now, this is not the initial grace that one would receive, because he's writing to those who already received grace, hadn't he? He said, grace be to you. But who's he writing to? He's writing unto the saints. Now, how did they get to be saints? Now, some people think to get to be a saint, you've got to get a gold group of people and vote somebody in to being a saint, or consider all the things they've done and then identify them as saints, or that's how one is called, is to be a saint. But the Bible says we were called to be saints. And that saints is really talking about being set apart by the Lord. And really every one of God's little children that's been born of the Spirit, made a new creature in Christ, has been born again, is called to be a saint. They are set apart for the service of Almighty God. They're saints. They're saints because not because they're so good and right, but because they've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, with all the saints which are at Achaia, and he's talking to those saints, and he says, grace be to you. This morning I say, grace be to you. And you need grace, and I need grace, and I'm praying for grace. I need grace, not initial grace in the sense I believe the grace of God has appeared to me. I believe there was a time in my life that the Lord has come and quickened me and made me alive and made me aware of His presence. I have felt His grace in the times past. I've been in prayer times with folks and felt the Lord's presence and felt His grace and answered prayer. I've been in meetings where I've been so lifted up I didn't want to leave and felt the Lord's presence so much. I felt His grace just surrounding me and thank the Lord for that. But I'm telling you today, I need His grace. I need it this morning. I need His grace to be able to preach. You need His grace in order to be able to hear. I'm going to need grace in order to be able to get in my car and ride down the road this afternoon and behave myself like I'm supposed to. I'm going to need grace when I go back to school to teach my kids. I'm going to need grace every single day of my life. And I pray, as you pray for me, I pray for you. May God's grace be to you. because we need that ongoing grace. Aren't you glad that our God is not poor in grace, but He's rich in grace? I need a whole lot of grace. How about you? You need a lot of grace? I need a lot of grace. Well, our God's rich in grace. And when He shows you grace, He doesn't have less grace. He has still just as much grace as He ever had, because He's the source of grace. And by the way, if it wasn't for Jesus, there would be no ability for God to show grace to us. God could not show His favor to us, which grace is, His favor that's undeserved. God would be unjust to show us favor as sinners if it wasn't for Jesus. And so Him giving us Jesus was grace. And Jesus came and paid a sin debt so that God can daily load us every day with the blessings and the benefits that you need. Yeah, Sister Joyce said, I knew he's going to get on that. He looks right at me every day. Every time. Well, that's all personal. We'll leave that there. But it's for every one of us. Listen, He daily loads us with benefits. And some of those days when I'm complaining and fussing and fighting, I feel like I missed mine that day, don't you? Is that true? No. The old adversary, though, has got me sometimes and I get blinded. Listen, every day you have, is God has blessed you with that day. This is the day the Lord has made, isn't that right? We should do what? We will what? Rejoice. Are you rejoicing? And do what? Be glad in it. That means some days that have lots of afflictions, and we do have those. And the promise here is, along with the afflictions comes the consolation. Along with the afflictions comes the comfort. That God may allow and suffer afflictions to come. In some cases, may bring on those afflictions. But God suffers those, allows them. God's ultimately in control. We believe in a God who is all-powerful and in control. And along with those afflictions that come, there's God's consolation, and there will never be too little consolation for the affliction that you have. And this passage certainly tells us that. Well, I'm getting ahead, but I need to probably... Well, I needed to hurry up a whole lot, but that's okay. Grace be to you and peace. You got to have peace. I need peace. We're in a world that does not even know anything about peace. I mean, you just turn on the television set and you won't get peace from the television set. And I don't care which channel you turn to, you'll find no peace there. I'm telling you, we turn to this book, we'll find peace. We find that we take this book and put it in the place of directing us and leading us in our life. We'll find peace. We'll find comfort. We'll find consolation. Why? Because it tells us that we have a Savior who has all power that we can lean upon, pray to, lead, and trust in, and you'll never be ashamed that you did that. There have been a lot of men and women that we may have put confidence in that we were ashamed that we did that. But I'm telling you, never will you do that with the Lord. He will never, ever let you down. You can trust Him. You can depend upon Him. He's faithful to His Word. And He supplies according to His grace. Not because we deserve it, but in spite of what we deserve. He's full of grace. And the Apostle Paul said, grace be to you and peace. And where does it come from? It comes from God, our Father. And that's the only place you'll find peace in this world. It'll be in the Lord. And notice he says, first from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And blessed be God. And I love this word, blessed be God, because we can't bless God by giving Him something that He stands in need of. You see, God blesses us by providing for us things that we stand in need of. But that's not how we bless God. But we can bless God. How can one bless God? Well, that means praise Him. That means thank Him. That means remembering. That means when you get up in the morning and you feel like everything's wrong, just consider for a little bit what God has done for you. And how good has He been. And lift up your voice and sing praises to His name. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful sound. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Be happy in the Lord. One thing about it, when you start talking to the Lord, the next thing you know, you'll find yourself, as I heard brethren say, you talking to Him, you'll soon be talking about Him. And if you're talking about Him, you'll soon be talking to Him. The two runs hand in hand. And it's just that certain. And if we stop talking to Him, we'll soon stop talking about Him. And the next thing you know, we forget. And you and I get in a terrible mess. And our homes get in a mess. And our families get in a mess. And people aren't fit to be around when they forget about the Lord. I tell you what, God changes people. He has changed you. You are a new creature. When you put on that old man, that old woman, you're a different person. You act different. You behave different. And when you fall back into the weakness of the flesh, well, you become that old cranky, hard-headed person that's very difficult to live with. Don't amen, Shannon. She wanted to. See, when I remember him, I remember his forgiveness, which makes me very forgiving. When I remember how he's treated me, it makes me treat others differently. When I remember heaven, it doesn't make anything here seem so bad. When I remember what Jesus suffered, my suffering seemed very little, if at all. And when I remember what I deserve and then remember what he's done for me, and think about that, every day is a wonderful day that God's given us in this world. And the worst thing that can happen to a little child of God in this world is to die. And to die is to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And that ain't so bad. As a matter of fact, for the little child of God to leave this old world, it's precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints. That doesn't mean we ought to live wanting to die. It means we ought to live not afraid of death. And we ought to live every day wide open to serve him. And how do we serve him? By helping others with God's little children along the way. There's a reason you've gone through afflictions in your life. The Bible here tells us one of those reasons. There are many, but there are one reason that we know of right here is that you might be able to comfort others with the comfort you were comforted with. You have a trouble and a problem? Have you been there and had someone, you tried to talk to someone who's going through it and they don't have it? You ever tried to talk to somebody about a trouble and they didn't ever have that trouble? In other words, they don't know anything about what you're talking about. I've never felt like that. I've never gone through that. I've never had that problem. I've never had that difficulty. I've never had that trouble. And they don't relate to you at all. I'll tell you, when you've gone through some problems and some troubles in this world, it's a great blessing to talk to others who've gone through some of the same things. Now, not just because you went through them. It's not just the afflictions you have a fellowship in, but it's a consolation. You see, it's a comfort that comes. Listen, I've been through some trouble, but God was with me in that trouble. I've been through some problem, but God was there in the midst of that problem. Yes, it looked like we were going to be overwhelmed. The Apostle Paul said he was pressed down above measure, even where he felt like there was no hope for him but to die. That's how bad it was in Asia for the Apostle Paul. Sometimes I get on my little pity parties here and think I'm having it tough, and I read a little bit about what the Apostle Paul went through. I've never been stoned anywhere. I've never been left for dead. I've never been going into a city to preach and get run out of the city. I've never had to go through what the Apostle Paul went through. And he said those things he went through, he counted it joy that he would suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he was comforted in those things, so much so that his suffering brought about a comfort in his life, enough so that he was able to comfort others with that same comfort the Lord had showed to him. Think about your past. Think about the troubles you've been in. And think about how the Lord has been with you. I don't think there's a one of us who would dare say he hadn't been with me. He'd been right there. Through some tough times. Through some hard times, through some difficult times. And we can look and say, if it had been just us, it'd have been gone. It'd have been over. It would have been different. If it had been me alone, or if it had been somebody else, we wouldn't have made it. We wouldn't be sitting here today. We wouldn't have the joy, the blessings today. We wouldn't know these things if it had been just us. Listen, God's been with us. And that same God who's been with us, it will continue to be with us. And he will be there even unto death. And you can count on that. Because he's promised it. He said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love the names of God in the Bible. He's the Father of mercies. Who is your Lord? He's the Father of mercies. Aren't you glad to have a God who's he's the Father of mercies? There's a lot of people worshiping a God who doesn't know anything about mercy. I'm glad our God is the Father of mercies. He's not a little G-O-D either. He's the God of God. He's the only God. And he's a father of mercies. Listen, why should his people be merciful? Because our God is merciful. He's the father of mercies. That means he's the source of them. And he's the God of all comfort. Aren't you glad we got a God who's a God of all comfort? That's why the Bible says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. That's why preachers are to comfort God's children. Not scare them to death. Not try to keep them afraid. No, they're to comfort the Lord's people. To help them, fear not, because great is your God and great is your salvation. He says he's the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation. How many tribulations did God comfort you in? In all of them. God comforts us in all of our tribulation. How many of us have tribulation? In this world you'll have what? The Bible says this clearly in John 16. And this Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. He had said just before that, in me you shall have peace. So where are we at today? In the Lord we have peace, right here in this world, in the midst of tribulation. He comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able. Now why does he comfort us? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. I'm telling you, God's ministers are prepared for any situation with the Word of God to be of comfort to God's little children, whatever the situation. That doesn't. Now, what are we saying by that? That means when we go to the Word and preach the Word to God's little children, we may not have experienced what they have experienced. We may not know about that trouble, but I'm telling you, this book is what? That which truly furnishes us. That's why the preacher doesn't need to have to experience everything in order to be of comfort to God's people, and neither do you. If you want to find comfort to give someone, even if it's something you've never gone through, you come to God's Word and you tell them what the Bible says, and it will be a comfort to them. And not only that, when you go everywhere else and can't find any comfort, there's a place for you to come as well. That's to God's Word. And you'll find the comfort that you need in the pages of God's Word. And he says that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. How? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, and that will abound in God's little children. God's little children go through this old world. It's a hard time. Not every day is just, you're not way up here. It's a trip of hills and valleys. There's some days you're up and some days you're down. And sometimes it seems like I'm just down, down, down. Well, let me tell you, nothing to help you get back up than the dose of the Word of God. Just go to His Word. Go to Him in prayer. Go to His Word. Meet with the saints. Sit where they're singing Amazing Grace. Hear the preaching of the gospel that tells you about Jesus and heaven and your help in this world. And you'll find all. And when you're in trouble, you've got a great physician. Isn't it wonderful to have a great physician when you're sick? I'm telling you, he knows what's wrong with you when the doctors don't. And he's able to supply what you need. And if he's able to lead them to do the right thing. We need him in every aspect. You've got a counselor. You're having trouble in your home, and none of us have ever had trouble in our home, I know. You have trouble in your home, you got a counselor. Wife, you got a counselor to help you know how to treat your husbands. Husbands, you have a counselor to help you know how to treat your wives. Parents, you have a counselor to help you know how to raise your children. And children, you have a counselor to help you know how to honor your parents. And we have a counselor to help us know how to get along with brothers. There's nothing that hurts more in this world in a natural way than a family that's falling apart with everybody at one another. That's hard and difficult. And we don't know how to solve that. But I'm telling you, you go to the Word of God, you got a counselor that helps you. You can't make other people act anyway, but you can know how you're supposed to act, and it'll lay it out real clear and plain. Be ready, though. It may tell you something that you don't want to do. Matter of fact, it will tell you something your old nature will tell you not you don't want to do. It'll be contrary to nature. But isn't it wonderful to be able to put that old man off and walk in the new man, and you'll find comfort and consolation. I don't know how I got all the way on that, but that's okay. Nobody's left yet. It's yet. Okay, he says, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. What this is saying to us is that if you're depending on yourself to get you through, you've got the sentence of death in yourself. If you're depending on yourself to get to heaven, you've got the sentence of death in yourself. There's no way. If you're trusting in yourself to get by every day, you've got the sentence of death in yourself. We have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And then verse 11, and we'll close with that. He says, ye also helping together. I can't. Verse 10, he delivered us in the past from a great death. We've been brought from death to life. He doth deliver every day that you live. We've got a God who's delivering us today, and whom we trust that as the future comes, he will yet deliver us. Can you see that? He's our deliverer in times past and today and forevermore. And then he says, ye also helping together by prayer for us. Isn't it amazing how it tells us here how important it is for God's little children to be praying for one another? The apostle said, he gave all the glory to the Lord for his deliverance. He said, but you help me, brethren, by praying for me. Have you felt that be a help when brethren pray for you? Have you felt that to be a help? Oh, I have. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Brethren, we've got every reason today to be thankful. We have a reason to be thankful for one another. I thank the Lord for our fellowship in the Lord. I thank the Lord for my brethren and my sisters and the relationship and the kinship and the fellowship we've had here in this world. I thank God for that. And above all, I thank the Lord who has done and given to us all these wonderful things. And when you see me forgetting that, you remind me again and again. And when I see you forgetting that, I hope, pray the Lord may help me be faithful to remind you again and again. You do that in your families, it'll help you. You do that in your lives, it'll help you. You do that among your friends and acquaintances in the world. It'll make you look strange, but God's children look strange. You may suffer. Matter of fact, you will suffer. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We may say, why am I not going through more persecution and tribulation like they did? Well, maybe I'm not walking as faithful as I need to. Now, that doesn't mean we ought to want it, but I'm saying if you stand for what's right, you will be persecuted for it. But the Lord's been so good to us. Where could we stand but there? Let God be true, and every man a liar. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. I do appreciate your kind attention this morning.
It was all right. Give the Lord the glory.